Another week, another chance for more knowledge. Ben, that's what we're here for, isn't it?
That's all we do.
Hollywood 2.0, The Vigo Show. Thanks again for joining us. We are here to be able to share knowledge about Hollywood 2.0. 1.0 is what, Ben?
Old school traditional media.
Boring. Hollywood 2.0.
The internet.
The internet, social media, e-commerce, all of the stuff that you see every day. We break down exactly how it gets made and the direction that all of the world and entertainment and Hollywood is moving. And to do that today, we are joined Brady Serverwood, who is the CBO, the Chief Bikini Officer. Do you wear that title proud?
Yeah, I kind of just gave it to myself like a week ago.
I think it's fantastic. The CBO of Sunnyco, which the biggest marketing tool of the red bathing suit, which got out there. I mean, went out to hundreds of thousands of people, right?
Yeah, 50,000 is...
50,000 is what you gave away.
But oh, true.
Yeah, sorry. How many did this go out? This went out to several hundred thousand people.
I mean, we had 1.7 million reposts.
Wow.
Just when you consider how many the average has following them. Yeah, I would guess over 100 million at least. That's like minimum.
So if you were scrolling your Instagram that day and you saw a red bathing suit, he's the one to thank or to blame, I guess. People enjoy people seeing
this
people in bathing suits.
This is the original viral marketing campaign. This is the one that started it all. Like, I can't believe I met him. I met him the other week. First of all, great dude. I'm glad I met you. You were my boy.
Thank you.
And I am stoked on here. But I'm honestly in awe. Like, it was like meeting a celebrity. I was like, oh my God, this is the guy who did the red bathing suit. Like, the most famous viral marketing campaign in all of Instagram history. And I'm really stoked to hear your story.
Okay.
And as you'll see, they don't just do red bathing suits anymore because we're rocking the ball caps here. And I see you got the tattoo on your arm.
Yes, sir.
Where? Okay, Brandy, I want to start. Right, I want to start very beginning. Was this always been the logo?
Seahorse.
The
no.
The seahorse.
No. So when we rebranded as a company in January 2017, so we started with skirts. We were called Sunny Skirts.
Okay.
We sold these like really trendy cheer skirts to girls at our college. Really just killed it in the college environment there. And then, you know, football season ended and we needed to pivot and come out, be less of a seasonal brand, come out with a new product. So that's when we decided to come out with swimwear. We rebranded as Sunnyco. We were in a Mexican restaurant in Tucson, Arizona, trying to figure out what should our logo be. Sat at this one table, saw a seahorse on the wall, and we're like, damn, seahorses are unique. We think we're pretty unique. Let's you know, rock the Sunnyco seahorse. So
wow,
that's how we got into the seahorse.
And we're gonna talk a lot about your story, and that's mainly what this episode is gonna focus on, for people to be able to learn from your story and be able. We're gonna pick your brain throughout this of how did you do it, where do you see this industry going, what has worked, what hasn't worked for you in e-commerce, in advertising, and social promotion. You said we. Who's we? You and your...
Me and my other business partner. So it's me and Alan Alchilo.
Two guys decided to make skirts and female swimsuits? Is this...
Trust me, you're like... we were also both in fraternities. So you can imagine telling our parents, telling girls we knew, telling guys we knew. Lots of people laughed at us, definitely. But... We knew from the very start that it was going to work. There's supply and demand.
Girls,
you know,
buy
lots
what,
of demand,
three
no
to,
supply
three to
for
one.
These skirts.
Girls buy about 2 or 3 to 1, right, compared to guys?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it's beyond me, but, yeah.
Yeah, they spend a lot of money, so it's not a bad thing if people are like, why did they go into girls? Because girls literally buy more. I mean, it's math. It's ROI.
True.
It's everything else in there. So... Did you expect the skirts to expand when you started out? Did you expect to go more than skirts?
So, we had two products on our website. It was just a white. This is literally like so simple. White, red stripe, red, blue stripe. The reason we even like knew how to like pick those two products and like have, I think our initial order was like 400 of these. I maybe asked 6 girls like, what do you guys like, the white skirt or the red skirt? And all the girls I asked said white skirt, and then my buddy Alan asked all these girls, and they said red skirt. So we're like, oh, let's just go 50% each. Like, this is how simple we started.
Who was right?
And
which sold more?
No, like I'm saying, I thought it would be like, say, white skirts, and all the girls I asked said white, and all the girls Alan asked said red. So we ended up just like going 50-50.
But did they sell more white or red? Were you right, or was Alan right?
I think we sold more white.
There you go.
But it could have, thinking back on, I mean, this has been a while. I mean, Alan could have, I think I maybe said the red would be, honestly, they both looked hot.
They both looked good. Started this incredible company. So there's no wrong answer.
Yeah. So we started on Instagram. We had a Instagrammer called Sunny Skirts Co. And, pretty much just had those two products on our site. Within 1 month, we were selling to over 30 different colleges. So girls would just DM us from the Instagram and say, hey, I go to like Iowa, or I go to Oklahoma, or I go to Mississippi, like all over the place. And we're just like, holy shit, this is like actually a bigger trend than we thought.
What were you posting on Instagram that they were seeing?
We were just reposting the pictures of our customers. So it was the user generated content, and showing that these girls were wearing these skirts to the tailgates and wearing them to the football games. And I think Arizona, it's such a school where like maybe more than half of the people that go to U of A are not from Arizona. So a lot of people that were buying our skirts, say, had friends back in Oklahoma that follow them on social media and see like, wait a sec, like, you're my friend. We're pretty similar in fashion taste. Like, I go to tailgates. I want one, you know?
Was that your first taste of how quickly things can spread online?
No, I had a YouTube channel, and we do these pranks. And there was this one prank where we uploaded it at night, and it had maybe 100 views, and then the next morning it had 10,000. And I thought I was like a celebrity in class. But wow. So yeah, I guess like second time.
What was the video?
It was us pranking ASU.
You went to Arizona.
I went to Arizona, yeah. The Wildcats. More intelligent college in Arizona.
Hater.
Just kidding. Yeah, no, we used to call them the Scum Devils. So enough we could say that one on air, but they're, you know,
so
ASU.
Let's break down this virality of, sure, you did the skirts, you're sitting in a restaurant, you see the seahorse. Why swimsuits? How did you get into that? How did you determine on the color red?
Yeah, so swimwear just kind of fascinated me. Because
as it does all of us men.
Yeah. yeah. Fascinated me in the business sense and the personal sense. But, you know, like we were talking about, girls just buy more than guys. So as a guy, maybe I have, I've always been in warm places. So probably I have more swimsuits than most guys. Also being from San Diego year round, it's warm near the beach, but let's say like five suits, and I maybe don't buy a new one for like 2 years. Girls will have like, it going to a girl's closet, you'll just see for yourself, holy shit, too many suits. And I noticed that they weren't loyal to just one brand.
Mm-mm.
And that's where I was like, we can do some damage in here.
I have a friend right now who is in Hawaii, and on her Instagram story 2 nights ago when she was packing, she said, well, in an hour, I've narrowed it down from 9 suits to 6 that I'm taking. I was like, what? It was wild.
Well, for the 6 individual Instagram posts. You know?
Obviously, for the 6 individual Instagram posts. Was it, again, how did you pick the color red?
Red. So our first collection of swimwear, we actually had a small group of girls at U of A that helped us kind of point us in the direction of like, me and Alan have no fashion taste, so point us in the direction of like, hey, this is what's trendy. This is what a lot of girls are wearing. One pieces, you know, 2017 was probably the biggest one piece revival, especially this summer after we broke the internet with it. But we chose, that's the thing that people don't don't see is like we chose red, we chose white, we chose black. The campaign we ran, it just so happens we went with a red color.
Wow.
Baywatch.
Definitely the best color. I mean, who knows? I mean, it could have been white that was the best color if we used it with the campaign because it's what everyone's seen on.
How long before the campaign were you selling?
How long? 8 months. 8 months total. And total revenue, maybe.
I was going to say, what did you sell in that 8 months?
Oh, man, like $20,000 of revenue. And we were working our asses off.
Which isn't bad, by the way.
Yeah, we're seniors in college. We were doing this after class. We would go hand deliver the skirts, suits to the girls' dorms. We'd write personalized cards. Like, we would go to the post office ourselves once we started, like, having orders from other states. We were doing it all ourselves. So to us, we were growing before all this hit. And especially on social media, I'd say maybe the first 5 months we had up to 2,000 followers. And then those last 3 months before going viral, we were really gaining traction. We ended up getting to 7,000, almost 8,000 followers before we went viral. You probably jazzed at that point. Oh, we were feeling good. We were like close to that K, you know?
You were close to 10K. I mean, where it's not dot whatever. Yeah, you're fantastic.
Do you have any strategies you kind of teach everyone about to get just to that level?
We would literally, if I could like teach someone how to do it, it's like, how much time do you have? Because we would be, I remember when I was kind of having some fun in Cabo over spring break, and my business partner was just on Instagram like going crazy, follow, unfollow. Here's the thing, we had an app that would tell us if they're not following us back, so we would never follow someone, and then if they follow us back and they remain following us, we would never unfollow that person. But with this app, you could tell if they didn't ever follow us back. Mm-hmm. So he was just playing the follow unfollow game, commenting on girls' pictures, just trying to get people to follow us. And I think over that spring break, he literally in like 1 week got us like 1,000 followers from doing it. Cause like Instagram sets you limits, but I mean, it's like an hour. You can maybe follow or unfollow 60 people. We don't do it anymore. So
no.
Is that method dead? Do you think?
No, I think if you treat social media as, It's kind of like the feeling of asking a girl out on a date as opposed to in person. Now doing it over text is like okay. So it's kind of like this new form of communication. Social media is that. So you need to communicate them, comment on their pictures. Like almost we took the personalized notes that we would give our customers once that got like too much volume to do. Mm-hmm. We took that to social media. So we'd comment on their pictures. You look so cute in your bikini. A corporate company would never do that because they wouldn't have seen the value in that.
It wasn't personal enough. That there takes a lot of time, but when it's just you were able to invest that time.
Oh, of course, because at that time too, we weren't getting the crazy amount of orders, but, you know, it's like back to the girl analogy. It's like, you know, you have different phases, the honeymoon stage, you have different phases mm-hmm. of a relationship. So you have to treat it like that. You kind of have to put your time into it.
Where was the idea for the viral post?
So, So I was hungover the day of the campaign. I found out about the campaign the day of the campaign. My business partner was taking a shower early that morning, comes barging into my room. Brady, like, I have this idea, and he was just like, let's give out some free suits. You know, we had sold maybe 300 suits, done underground discounts. So if a girl had 10,000 followers, we would DM them, say, hey, 80% off if you post and tag us. Cause you know, it's all just like knowing your costs and knowing you got to get your exposure mm-hmm. out there. When you're not getting sales, no one's going to come to your website.
You
got
to spend money to make money.
Exactly.
That's a good idea.
so yeah, he came into my room, was telling me this idea, and when he said the shipping and handling, he's like, you know, it could be okay though if we make them pay shipping and handling. And I thought back to, it was some ad I had seen with like a watch company or a sunglass company where they focus on the shipping and handling, which now, if you're listening to this, you're probably like, oh, like I hear of companies doing that all the time. Really, when this all went down, I'd maybe only heard of a couple companies do it. So it's definitely new. And I just thought, yeah, why not? Like, we were trying so much shit at the time on Instagram, like different sales, different giveaways. Like we were just like, let's just try stuff, right? And when Instagram's evolving, you kind of have to evolve with your ideas and everything on it too. So I'm kind of in the company, the grammar guy. So I wrote up the caption, and I said, if you share this photo, the photo, by the way, was just one of our customers wearing the suit by the pool, not facing the camera. One of like the three photos we were gonna choose for the campaign. There's another photo with two girls with puppies looking straight at the straight at us, so you wouldn't have been able to see the logo in the back. And it was just like, yeah, let's go with this photo. Let's say if 100 people share this photo, everyone that shared it and everyone after will get a free red bathing suit, or whichever color they want. So then like an hour passed. I went to, at the U of A, we have this mall where like everyone kind of like hangs out, has picnics, throws a football around. And I was with my buddy Nate Heiser, and we went over there and we're just playing football to show you how little I gave a shit about this campaign. An hour passed, I go to check my phone, and my business partner Alan's kind of like, dude, what the fuck? Like, it's not working. The campaign is not working. We had 6 girls share the photo after an hour. And I still remember, it's like kind of frightening to think about, but I almost deleted the picture. I literally almost deleted the picture. But then I thought, maybe we just got to switch up a couple of the words. So Alan had the idea. He's like, maybe they don't understand share. Maybe we need to say repost. So I changed that to repost. And then I was like, this 100, like they could be just waiting. You know, it's like social pressure. Like, oh, I don't want to share it until it's a popular thing, whatever. Yep. So I just said, let's just say everyone that reposts this will get the free suit. And then boom, just kidding. So that's what everyone thinks is like after that hour, oh, it just went crazy. I'd say going into that night, maybe 8 hours into the campaign, we were at like 10,000 followers. So almost 8,000 followers to 10K. Mm-hmm. I was, for people following me on social media, I was freaking out about like having a K next to our account, posting on my personal, just like, whoa, this is wild. Like, this is so great. Like, cause before the campaign, we're picking up steam. It's just like, wow, things are going great.
They had to repost and follow.
No, we never said to follow us. So, then fast forward to maybe around 8 AM. I wake up and now we're at like 100,000 followers. And then at like, let's say 10 p.m., we're at 300,000 followers.
Holy
It got
cow.
To the point where I had so many texts from people like I've literally hadn't spoken to since maybe even like middle school, elementary. Just like, holy shit, dude, I'm in like Paris right now, or I'm in wherever in the world and I'm seeing this. Like, what'd you guys do, you know? And the best was my friends telling me like, dude, I'm not paying attention in my class right now, I'm just refreshing the screen, because you guys are literally gaining like 1,000 followers like every minute. It was so wild. So in 24 hours we had 1.7 million reposts. We went from 7,000 followers to 787,000 followers at the peak.
What was your thought at that time? Did it set in? What was it? What was going through your mind?
I'll tell you when it set in. So amidst all this, we were trending on Twitter. We were Simone Biles, ex, gymnast, gold medal champion, tweeting about us, stop posting this red bathing suit picture. I think it was the Time magazine. When I saw that, just like not being like the biggest attention I had ever really got in my life was that YouTube channel being posted, I think, by like Bleacher Report. Mm-hmm. And that was just like huge. Other than that, I've never really been on shows or just anything like that. So when we got posted by Time, I was just like, whoa. And then we were getting phone calls from TMZ to my personal line for about 5 days, about six times a day. And I honestly think it said something about like Warner Brothers in the voicemail when I just wanted to call back and see like, who is this? Cause I was hoping it was Ellen DeGeneres. I was like, I want to go dance on Ellen. Oh man.
Well, that would just skyrocket sales. I mean, that's a
dream. I would like dance with Ellen forever. So, no, it wasn't Ellen. It was TMZ. So, you know, down here.
Fourth or fifth.
But it was the best way to explain it. It was chaos and excitement at the same time.
Because everyone's seeing this of, holy cow, this worked so well. You got out to this many people, Time Magazine, TMZ, so many of their outlets. You still have the work. Right? I mean, we've talked, you had to do all the support emails.
We're talking about the viral aspect. So the other aspect was, what do we do? We had 1.7 million people repost it. We had told them, if you repost it, we will send you out individual codes. So it's like me and Alan are customer service here. It's like, how the fuck are we going to send out 1.7 million codes to these people? And that's when we're just like, the only thing we found possible to do was to give out the code publicly. So we, you know, kind of hinted that on our story. I think maybe even put that back in the caption, like, all right, we're going to give out the code tomorrow at 3 p.m. I still remember before giving out the code, me and Alan had to think about it. We're like, we've only with this one manufacturer manufactured, say, 300 to 400 suits with them. Like, can we trust, like, how big of an order? Like, we didn't even know how quickly they could make this stuff, right? So we came up with the number of 50,000. But then again, I mean, like, we were wanting 100,000, and Alan's dad kind of talked us down because he's had experience in the trade business. Mm-hmm. And he was like, no way, the Chinese manufacturers could make it in the time period. It's another thing. We said, everyone will get their orders in 3 to 6 weeks. Lucky guess, really. Lucky guess when it comes down to it. But yeah, we're like 50,000. Let's go with that. We didn't know if we were gonna even receive 50,000 orders, but we set it on our website to have 50,000 uses available for say 24 hours. So in 28 minutes, we received 50,000 orders. And we actually received 50,072 orders out of 50,000. Not many people know that. So 72 orders came in at the same millisecond. And Shopify, who runs our store, one of the biggest like global website builders out there, they said to us, "We've never seen this before."
Wow!
$1 billion business.
What was the cost of manufacturing those goods? That to upfront, you had the upfront cost.
Yeah. So that was the other thing is we don't have the manufacturer. We've never worked with this volume. What do we charge the customers? So that was also, we didn't lose money. So we got lucky with that too. We went back and forth with different family members of kind of how do we put a price on this type of virality? We don't want to lose orders either. That was the thing we thought of, is like, is this shipping and handling too expensive? Like, will they not order? And looking back on it, I'm like, shit, we could have charged $20. I mean, those orders were going to come in regardless in maybe an hour at that price or whatever.
But you had a few hiccups along the way, right? Didn't you both have to fly out to
handling? Oh, so lots and lots of hiccups. So 10 days after receiving the orders, this is 10 full days, So many hiccups. I mean, first of all, the orders came in around $800,000 to our Shopify store in 28 minutes, going from, you know, in 8 months, around 20K in revenue. And we Shopify put a hold on our account. So we weren't able to touch that money for about a month.
Yeah. That's a long time.
So
when you have to ship.
So that's just one of the things we had to deal with. Then fast forward 10 days, our manufacturer started sketching us out that we had been using and telling us, oh, now I've opened up my new factory. And pretty much we looked into it and she got fired from her old factory. So now we're like, well, 10 days into this, got the money, but we can't touch it, and now we don't know how to manufacture this shit. I was in the fetal position at this point on Alan's bed, and I remember thinking it was either like, this is it, and I don't even know like what we would have done if we didn't do it. And we were just like, no, we need to like go out there. Alan flew out about 5 hours after our graduation ceremony from college. He flew out to China, found us a manufacturer. By the time he landed, they had duplicated the suit because we sent them a sample beforehand. And we were able to get a manufacturer on the job, have four factories, 1,000 workers each factory. And they produced all the 50,000 bathing suits in less than 2 weeks.
Wow.
And didn't your account get shut down too on Instagram?
Oh, that's another one. So yeah, my Instagram account, I think that was maybe 2 or 3 days, maybe 2 days after all this, got disabled. So we just got logged out. I remember it was like 3 a.m. and I'm like, why did I just get logged out of the Instagram? I'm banging on Alan's door like, dude, did you just change the password? What happened? Yeah. And he got logged out. That turned into an all-nighter of us just freaking the hell out. Pretty much Instagram is like a black hole. Go there for customer service and like good luck. Like they didn't even give us a comment of why they shut us down, but we assume it's because we were growing at a speed they've never seen before and their algorithm just said this has to be a spam or something's wrong here. Yeah. So it was the biggest blessing in disguise from the business standpoint that they shut down our account, because anything we would have been putting out would have just been distracting us from the goal at hand of let's produce these 50,000 suits. So I'd say once manufacturing was like up and running, maybe 2 weeks into this whole thing, I just decided to fly out to Menlo Park. I went to Instagram's offices on a limb, dressed in like a suit to the T, thinking I was going to get a meeting with the Instagram people. No, they just like left me in the lobby pretty much. But I filled out this form on an iPad, and the lady convinced me that this is actually going to go straight to the top. And I was like, well, I hope so, because like I just flew from Arizona to do this. I finally like didn't really leave. Like I was so just like, someone better see this. Like we're legit. I brought all our documents of like showing our invoices and like manufacturing started and all this stuff to say like, we're not a scam, you know? And finally I was waiting around in the parking lot, and like the security finally like tried to kick me out, because they Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all these social media companies, they're very weary, especially the type of workers there, of like reporters and like people trying to like just, I don't know, get in their business. So they thought I was doing that. I was really just asking everyone, like telling them the situation and be like, are they actually going to look at my shit? But then like an hour passed, I'm at the hotel I was staying at, and I get a random phone call from Menlo Park area code. I asked like, hey, can I like ask who's calling? No, you may not. Do you own a fashion business? Oh, what do you sell? Just asking me like the main questions, and just like, okay, thank you, bye. Boom, 5 minutes later, account back up. It's Instagram for you. It's like some CIA
shit. At this point, were you getting more orders? I mean, at what point, I guess, you have the big upfront push.
After we cut off the discount, after we cut off the discount, we had other products on the site and sold out like that. So I'd say maybe 20 minutes later, we were sold out of everything. And so I had, like, when Alan went to China, I was in our apartment shipping everything else out. There's maybe like 500, 700 units. And like, even that for us was like so much more work.
Yeah.
So I even had like some friends, like I paid him $50-$100 to like help me. Like, it was overwhelming, but yeah.
What did you learn about that time, about that virality? I mean, looking back on it, but also just in the moment, what was the thought process and learning of like, okay, this is something, how do we replicate it?
I would say the biggest piece of advice is, if something's not working, don't ditch it. Like, look at me, I almost fucking deleted the post. If I deleted the post, I wouldn't be here. I honestly probably would. I don't even know if our company would still be around. So I think you need to get at, like, especially with social media changing every day, you need to accept that what you're putting out is not always going to work, and you might have to just tweak it a little bit to understand the customer and understand the platform. And I don't know, like, people in LA so far, I just moved out here a week ago, and like, I think people really like me, but it's probably because they're like, shit, how, you know, what's the secret? But if there was a secret, everyone would be doing it. I think we just tapped into something in the social media space that was so new, reposting a picture. If you ask anyone now, they've never seen a picture more times on Instagram.
Yeah, like, I think this will go in textbooks. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. There's actually already been a couple case studies that I've heard of people tell me at just random colleges that they're talking about it. And I think, like, wow, that's awesome. Like, those schools are actually giving a shit about what's happening right now. Usually it's like 10 years down the line that they'll be talking about something.
Talk about this in correlation to, I guess, the whole culture today with selling on e-commerce and using Instagram. This was your first kind of foray into that. Is that also kind of, you guys have grown with the culture, and how are you still using that?
Yeah. So I think it's, it's a funny thing, because when you think of a corporate company and say the CEO's in his 50s or 60s, when Instagram came out, they probably didn't, you know, use it right away. When I was in high school, I still remember someone like grabbed my phone and was like, dude, I'm making you an Instagram account. Like, you need to get on this shit. I remember at first being like, no, I don't need to post pictures, whatever. I like pretty much grew up without it, and then grew up like instantly on it. And I think that balance has been like, I'm a part of it. I'm 22. I'm in my demographic I'm selling to. If anyone is, you know, I don't know, I think I have a better view, because I'm the consumer myself.
How do you guys use Instagram right now for your business? Like, what are you using? Are you doing ads? Are you just posting? Talk about your strategy, your Instagram strategy and social media strategy.
Our strategy is to put out authentic content. So traditionally, you see a model or an actor or someone very successful, an athlete, repping your brand, Gatorade. You know, I use Gatorade. You should too. And that's worked, but I think it's worked because they never really showed you an authentic side. And I think Instagram has allowed for brands to show, hey, like, what's up, guys? I'm Brady. I'm the co-founder of SunnyCo, and I'm in college right now, kind of like you guys. And I noticed
like
that
Facebook was.
Yeah, so exactly. Zuckerberg created it, and around, like, it didn't start with like, oh, this is gonna be the biggest platform in the world. It started with, hey, you know, let's just do this like dating service, whatever. So I think it really goes back to American Apparel was selling these white and red skirts, and that's where the U of A girls would go. And they could have easily put a stripe on there to make it more unified with the school colors, and they didn't. And I think that just shows, like we were in the college, we noticed the trend. So I think that that could be a bigger analogy to us being more in tune with what's going on.
How much has e-commerce grown over the last 5 years? And is that the future?
Oh, man, I don't have the stats on it, but staggering. And I think for how staggering it is, it's really shocking that people don't talk about it as much. Like, this is where everyone is spending their time day in and day out. Like, it's almost sick how much I'm on my phone. But, like, when I talk to other people and I just watch, like, I remember I was in college and I went into our Starbucks one day and I didn't have my phone because maybe I lost it or it was charging back in my room. And I'm in the line and not one person was talking to each other because they're all on their phones. And that was the first time I ever thought to myself, like, whoa, this is like, do they even notice me? Like there's no, it's different. It's like the communication has just changed to this thing that's sitting in your phone or in your hand.
So, you know, yeah. A lot of people are like, why are you having this guy on a show about Hollywood 2.0, a show about content, a show about networks, things like that. It's because this is it.
It affects everything.
It affects everything. This changed everything. Yeah. This changed everything. Everything is changing, et cetera, et cetera. But the whole point of content, which is my grand thesis, right? It's like, what was Fox, ABC, NBC? They were marketers. All they did was they bought content to be able to in turn sell to advertisers and in turn sell products, right?
Yeah.
And so what's happening now is you and a group of your friends, essentially all based out of LA, all young entrepreneurs, are just cutting out the middleman and say, hey, we know how to get eyeballs, we know how to get attention, and we're going to sell a product as well. And I think that's super interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is it's like so out there right now. Like, it's so public what's going on. And still, people are traditionally doing the 9-to-5. Traditionally, like, I still remember when in my graduating class, they said of a business school, the Eller Business School, of like 700 students, they said, stand up if you own your own business. And I stood up, and my business partner stood up, and maybe only three other people stood up. And like, when I saw that, I was just like, oh my God, I'm fucking killing it. Because it's like, why wouldn't you be doing this? Like, I'm no genius. I probably Googled how to start a company. I honestly, like, if you work at Google, you probably look at my phone. I know they see everything and just probably see me saying, like,
paranoid.
How do I do this? You know? So yeah. I think it's so, like we were talking about, you know, it's no, oh, you started a company at 21 anymore. It's kind of like you could start a company at 14 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's how I got into production. It was always my job. Even in middle school, I would make the highlight reels, high school, whatever, do video, college, doing it for the spring break companies, for Rockstar and all that. I never realized, it took me a long time. I thought I was always doing it as an end goal to do TV, but what I didn't realize is, like, I actually enjoyed the business part.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's no barrier to entry anymore. There is no excuse to not be an entrepreneur. Literally, you can go make and I wanted to test this hypothesis. So last week I created a Shopify account. I created an Amazon store called Influencer Gear. Okay. I connected an app called Oberlo.
Okay.
Familiar with it?
Yeah.
So essentially what you do is you pick out products and populate them in your store. You drive the traffic. As soon as you sell a product, all you have to do is click a button and it ships directly from China. Like, anyone can do it now. And yeah. What's going to power it all is
content.
Is
that like drop shipping?
Yeah, it's drop shipping.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, no, that's definitely a short-term play. It's like just flipping stuff. Like, oh, I'm going to go take this table into the streets. You guys bought this for $30. I'm going to sell it for $70. You know, so we're more so trying to build a brand. Mm-hmm. So that's why you see the seahorse on my wrist here, on the hat, on all our suits. Thank God the viral picture had the seahorse in there. So I think it's more like, you know, it's a lifestyle. So as opposed to maybe a customer buying, you know, from that site you're just referring to, they might feel a little, they might enjoy that experience, but might feel a little not as connected to the brand. We're trying to make our customers one with our growth and one with our brand, I guess, experience.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a short-term play. That was, I was just honestly curious how easy it was, and it's easy, but I'm all about building brands and repeat customers, all the things we're going to hear about on a future episode of a panel. But my experiment is now, okay, if we're good at making content, we've always made content to drive eyeballs to shows, so the people watch those shows, and the networks would sell advertising, and people buy brands, right? So I'm just rethinking the whole model. Like, that's why I think you guys are Hollywood 2.0, because you're going to either fund the content or create it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, even I'm kind of thinking, you know, we're already doing the storytelling. I'm even starting to think of how I can build my personal brand, because like I've already found a niche of how to get people's attention. And I think you're seeing that more and more often when there's a YouTuber driving more traffic than a show, you know, like when I like, you know, it's right there in their face now.
Yeah, and I don't think most people, the adults, don't know about it yet. Like, I really think so. And you were kind of like, why don't they? Well, yeah, I spent a lot of time at the networks and at the big production companies, and it's corporate. It's just as corporate as, like, you know, some life insurance company. And if something wants to change, 18 people have to approve. Like, I remember, and this has been written about, so I can talk about it, at American Idol's most popular show when I'm talking this. And I switched from being a producer to digital, and we would wait until the show aired on the East Coast. The show aired in Central Time. The show aired on the West Coast. The show aired in Hawaii, right? And people,
there's so many, like, barriers.
Yeah.
There's so many.
What were kids doing? They were putting on YouTube, right? So other people were monetizing this. It's like, no, we can't cannibalize ourselves. That was always it. Then next year it was, okay, we just wait for West Coast. And then finally we got it into real time, and it is Facebook's most successful video story ever. Hundreds of millions of views right as they're pushing video. But the thing is, like, it took years for that to happen.
Yeah.
Because so many people had to sign off on it. And where you guys can move at the speed of light.
Well, I think that's too, like, kind of where we have that advantage is it's such open dialogue, and it's such, like, let's just try new stuff. Whereas, like, let's go back to the viral thing, where we came up with the campaign in hours. You would never hear, it's impossible. Like, the only company I've actually heard of where, like, the CEO doesn't make that many decisions is Netflix. I heard that in a I think it was a TED Talk. But it's like they're not trusting their employees. And I bet every person that you have to get it through to, I bet the people at the bottom are the ones actually having the good ideas, because they're probably closer to that target market. They're probably understanding that YouTube and all this stuff is really valuable.
Yeah, and, you know, your content, this red bathing suit picture, was user generated, right? You just lifted it from your friend.
Oh, the girl, like, she was just as shocked as us that it went viral, you know?
Yeah, you didn't spend $50,000 on a photo shoot.
Hey, we're looking at, can we use your photo, or was it?
To be honest, I don't remember.
How much did it cost to produce that photo?
$0. Like, the whole campaign was $0. Exactly. I mean, yes, that's like a unicorn type of story, but I think there's something to be said about a customer or someone just seeing something and knowing that someone bought that and someone's putting it out there as authentic, like, not trying to, like, any prerogative of, like, I got paid $20,000 for this, I don't really love it. Like, there's something that goes for there's a brand out here, Cuts Clothing. They just sell t-shirts, and they've kind of, like, from the ground up built their brand, and some of their best success stories are, like, Reggie Bush and some big football players buying their shirts without them knowing. So then they just, like, are following these athletes and see them post, and they're like, wait, he's one of our customers? Like,
yeah.
That is the best form of advertising because it's just real.
It's grassroots.
There's nothing that went into it. There was no prerogatives. There was no, hey, I'm using you to do this, to sell this. It's just like we're people and it's what we like.
Is that the new wave? Because, you know, we've been through the wave of like social media influencers and people getting paid, you know, major bucks to be able to post. Is now the new wave of finding the friend or the family member or the neighbor who's relatable?
Well, it's tough because, I'd say it's such like a contrast. It's like the traditional brands and then kind of what we're doing. I still think though, there are influencers out there that do influence like at a crazy level. It's just hard to tell which ones do that.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Are they teaching this at all in school? Are they teaching the new age of how to be able to build a brand using e-commerce and be able to market on social media? Is that talked about at all in school?
We wouldn't know.
At my school, they were getting close to it. I'll say that. They were getting really close to it, even to the point where they let me and my business partner in December of 2016, only like 3 months into the brand, they let us come and speak to the class and talk about like how we built our website and all that shit. And I still remember we were teasing them about going into swimwear and showing them pictures and stuff. And it just like the slideshow was just shit. It was so bad. And like, I bet those people though, like, after we went viral, we're just like, holy fuck. Like when we were looking at those pictures, we were probably thinking like, all right, these guys have sold like 800 products, whatever. Like why is our teacher letting them come talk to the class? And like, oh, I bet they were like, holy fuck. We saw that before anyone.
So you have your ear to the ground right now. Like what's popping right now on Instagram? What's cool? Or is it Instagram?
What's popping?
Just in general.
I don't know if I should say it. No. what we notice, what we go for is engagement. We don't care about how many followers you have. We want to see how many views you're getting, how many people like actually give a shit about what you're putting out there. In this day and age, I see it every fucking day where someone says, oh, I'm an entrepreneur, and they have like 1,000 followers and they don't have any companies and whatever. Or you'll see some company with 100,000 followers, but they're getting 200 likes on their picture. That doesn't exist. That company is buying followers. Their engagement is off. Like we look for engagement and we go to the stories. So right now stories are getting better engagement than posts. So I really hope the influencers I work with don't hear this, but what we try and do is we go to an influencer and we say they come to us. No, we go to them. I wish they came to us. That would be so much easier. So say they come to us and they're like, Brady, we want to work with Sunny Co. And, you know, can you pay us $5K, for like 3 posts? And we'll also do a story, 2 story posts, and that will be another like 2K. And then we'll go back to them and say, we'll just do 1 story post with you for $500. So we negotiate it down because they've already came to us and said that their stories are less valuable than the posts, and we know that's not true.
My stories get so way that's more a big secret.
That's actually very interesting.
Yeah. So it's all just where the engagement's going.
So it's interesting talking about footage, and you're saying people love authentic content. Is it all about, you know, nowadays it's just shooting everything and then determining what to use from there almost?
Yeah, like one of the guys I look up to, Gary Vee, he has a video guy that he pays like $100K a year to literally follow him around the entire year.
Yeah.
Because I bet, you know, if he says enough shit, he's going to be right with, you know, some of the stuff he's putting out. So
and you're going to catch those moments. You're going to catch those moments that are like, oh, man, that was a great moment. I wish I would have had it on camera. And it was, seemed so authentic because I wasn't specifically doing it for the camera. And that's what people relate to now.
Yeah. There was one documentary. I remember watching it. It was with the Edward Snowden.
Mm-hmm.
And it was as everything was happening live, as he was unfolding all the files WikiLeaks. And everything, yeah. the WikiLeaks. And that to this day is one of the most eerie things I've ever watched, because you're literally like, it's, you're watching a live event take place. And that's kind of what we created with that viral picture, is like everyone remembers the, maybe not that day, but they remember that summer with that red bathing suit picture on Instagram.
Legend.
And yeah, like there's some good memes out of it. I don't know if you guys saw any of them.
We'll throw them up in post.
That, right? Yep. That kind of, yeah, that kind of kept me sane throughout it, and like laugh. Like I laughed to them, and it was good. Other than that, like there was, I think, one day where I played like Mario Kart at a friend's house, and I was like, for like 30 minutes, forgot about everything. So that was nice.
Yeah.
Other than that, my life sucked for that month.
But it's good.
What type
now.
Of content are you going to put out good for the problems. Brand moving forward, do you think?
So,
because you're a content genius.
Yeah. So I, you know, me and my, it's really hard to own a business, but me and my business partner kind of clash with, how we feel about storytelling. And I really believe that everything we put out, I think like 9 out of 10 stuff, things we put out should not be about selling something. I think it should be about telling a story about us and our lives, and just we're people. And then maybe every 1 out of 10 times we say, oh, by the way, we got a new product. Maybe you guys like it. I think that works the best. And he kind of sees it still as like a 50-50 thing, or actually even more so like trying to sell sometimes. So I'm actually trying to build my personal brand a little bit. I'm going to come out with a show where, you know, being in LA and being doing the business I've been doing, it's connected me with a lot of people I would never imagine of possibly meeting in my life, including you and you guys. So that show is going to more so be about, I want to connect people. You know, maybe if they can't meet them in their life, I want the most authentic and real video to come out of that interaction, to where they feel like they also know these people.
Wow.
And we're going to be drinking alcohol on the show.
Well, obviously there's the important
shots
factor
with Silverwood.
On a
look
specific
out.
Like bar off of Sunset, maybe, perhaps, in Hollywood.
Not promoting alcohol at all. It's just going to be like breaking down that fourth wall of like, we're people, you know, TMZ running after you to ask you a question. I wouldn't want to respond to them, but maybe if we sit down and have a drink, we'll get to know each other.
No, I think it's a great strategy, and I think it's a great concept. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's what
I,
maybe you guys
old
can,
people
maybe
to
you
call
guys
reality
can
TV.
Film it.
Well, I got a strategy, and I think it's that we bring you back for another episode of Hollywood 2.0 The Vigo Show. Ben, you down for that?
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
can we just do it now?
We've just scratched the surface on that. You know some people. Text some people. We'll get a panel together.
Yeah, we're going to do a panel.
We're going to get a panel together.
I mean, yeah, I could text my roommate. He has a sock company. And then I think my other friend's visiting that sells towels. So, Brandon, yeah.
Look at that.
Honestly,
we're
like,
it.
They're probably free right now, just scrolling through Instagram.
I mean,
so I'll just call them up.
The night is young. I think we can still do it tonight. Let's tape this thing, Ben.
That's ambitious, but let's do it.
Let's make it happen. That's what we do here on Hollywood 2.0. We make things happen. We make things happen for you based on the experiences that we've had. Ben, obviously, running digital content for American Idol. And with Sunnyco, the success that we've talked about, incredible. And so I appreciate you sharing your story. Look forward to this next episode that we're going to film. For that, stay tuned. Make sure you subscribe, like, comment, tell a friend. Hollywood 2.0 The Vigo Show. We're rising up the charts on Apple Podcasts. It's incredible. It is truly incredible, and we have you to thank for that. So thank you for watching. Thank you. Hopefully you learned something. We'll see you next time.
It's cheaper than college.
Okay.